for people that are starting their podcast is to just stay consistent. Whatever you pick, if you're going to release once a week, release once a week. Don't skip, just do it. I started out once a week and I started getting so many people that I'd go twice a week and then three times. There was a time I did five, just being consistent. Don't let months go by without posting.
Most hosts never achieve the results they hoped for. They're falling short on listenership and monetization, meaning their message isn't being heard and their show ends up costing them money. This podcast was created to help you grow your listenership and make money while you're at it. Get ready to take notes. Here's your host, Adam Adams.
Hey, hey, it's Adam Adams. And generally, as you may have gotten accustomed to, any even numbered episode is supposed to be me alone pouring into you and your business. However, I did so many different interviews with so many really, really good people that on this episode today, even though this would typically just be me pouring into your business, me just sharing something short, like 5, 10, 20 minutes, where I poured into you and your podcast and growing your brand and really getting you in front of everybody. I'm going to do that today with an interview. So let's get right into it. What's up, podcaster? It's your host, Adam Adams. And today I'm joined with Heidi Aldridge from Heidi's Lemonade Stand podcast, where she teaches people how to turn lemons into lemonade. Basically, she has interviewed approximately 400 people on this show about their adversity and how they overcame it. Additionally, quick, interesting thing. Well, I'll say two things. One, she looks crazy young and she has 6 grandkids. So that's nuts to me. But going into the podcast, she's been doing this actually since 1999. And you're like, wait, was there a podcast in 1999? No, she started out as a radio show and did that for a little while, and she brought it back around 2020. And so we're going to get in. She's done 400 episodes. So I want to find out what she's learned along the way and what she can do to help you who might be just starting out or really not at that 400 level mark. So Heidi, you also do public speaking. How does your podcast help you with public speaking? Let's start there.
Yeah, that's a really good question. And thank you for talking to me today. I hope I can bring some value to your listeners. But as far as how it helps me with public speaking is because I'm a motivational speaker and I teach about habits of happiness. And I think one of the problems with happiness is our problems that we have and things we struggle with. And so we're taking lemons and making lemonade. And I get to hear hundreds of stories of people who have overcome really tragic, like things you would never wish upon someone to have to deal with. And I'm able to share their stories when I speak to hopefully uplift and encourage other people. So it kind of matches. My podcast is more my hobby, but it definitely does help me with my speaking too.
I think it'd be interesting to find out what you do. When you jumped onto our podcast, you got an original initial email. And on that email, it had this place where it says, here's the fine print, read the fine print or something like that, it says. And it basically tells you to sign over your life. I think that's what it does. Everything that you say can be deleted. Everything you say can be in a book. Everything that you say can be in a presentation. Anything you can say, I can talk about on other podcasts. Like, I own the information after you speak it. And then even in the calendar, it says, now that you've read this, go schedule your calendar. And in the Calendly, there's one of the buttons that says, do you agree that Adam owns everything that we talk about? The reason I bring that up is because you said that you can use this information, this content, these conversations in presentations. And I'm wondering, how do you find and extract the permission from the guest to make sure that they're comfortable with, they're okay with, they've agreed to you talking about this after they record?
Right. That's a good question. I think it's just like what you said with the Calendly, you know, you're giving permission and you're going on air to record permanently your information. They're also providing me a photo of themselves and they're agreeing to all that, you know, through email, pretty much. You know, I don't have a written contract, but it's just known, you know, you're putting this out there and you're saying all this stuff and we're recording it and it's going to be used. But when I speak and I share their stories, I actually don't give, I give a highlight and I just say, hey, this person I interviewed, Kelly, and I tell her story like that. So I actually don't use people's last names specifically. I keep it more generic that way, but their photo is out there too.
Okay.
So they give permission for that.
Heidi, how long have you been doing speaking? Like, Was this something that happened back in, was already happening in 1999? Or is it something that you just started after doing some of these episodes? Or kind of give us a timeline of that.
Yeah. Back in 1999, I started the radio talk show because I was going through a really hard time in my life. And I thought, are other people struggling with things too? And so I was able to hear inspiring people back then. I thought, we had radio back then. That was the only way to get, we didn't have internet and stuff. So we didn't have a way to share stories except for on the radio live. And so I'd meet people in the studio and we'd record. I did that for a year and it just elevated my life so much and occurred to me so much. And I actually ended up having my miracle baby a week later, you know, so I didn't go back to radio right away. And I told everybody, I'll be back. And then 20 years later, I was like, I think we need it again, but let's do it as a podcast. I don't have to go to the radio station and try to meet people there. It's just a lot easier to do it through Zoom and be able to do that. But in between 1999 and 2020, I became a motivational speaker around 2010, 2011, because I think I just kind of started forgetting all the things I learned in 1999. And I needed kind of that. So I took some training and took some classes and got certified as a happiness trainer and started teaching these happiness classes. And then that kind of turned into motivational speaking after that, just to do a little quick 45-minute speech instead of a 5-week course, you know. So yeah. I still do the course. I still teach the 5-week course and I still do the motivational speaking. But after about 10 years of that, and then with the pandemic of not being able to speak and teach, I'm like, okay, I'm bringing back the radio show as a podcast. So that's why. So it was every 10 years, I guess.
Okay, perfect. Do you know what you're going to do in 2030?
Oh, gosh, I know, right?
Not
I have
yet.
No idea. I'm working on a book now. So that'll be my next thing coming up probably next year.
Let's talk about your business. So is your business speaking? Is it the course? Is it one-on-one coaching? How do you make money?
Oh, good question. I work a little side job sometimes at a fast food restaurant even to make money, but my husband provides, so I get to kind of have fun.
Okay.
But yeah, my motivational speaking is where I make the most money. And then, but that's certainly not consistent. You know, it might be one a month or one every couple of months. So it's not something to pay the bills on. And then, yeah, my teaching, I do that at our local university as a kind of a, what is it, continuing education, kind of community ed type class through the university. And so that's every 5 weeks and they do that once a semester. So that's really no money either, but it's okay.
Okay. So out of curiosity, what are the things that you've focused on? Did you do college? And if so, what were you like looking at or graduating in?
Yeah. I actually did attend college at Southern Utah University for 1 year. Okay. And I was studying communications there. I was going to be the next Oprah. So I was going to go.
Wait, what were you studying?
Communication. TV. And then I was on the radio there a few times. But then I got my pregnancy, you know, and newlywed and left school for a little bit to have a baby. And then I just never could go back. It just wasn't something that interested me anymore. I was in that mom mode and just loving that. And so had two kids within a couple of years and then went through years of infertility and it just was a rough time and went through some depression and some hard things. And I never really went back and got that degree, but I found ways to get on the radio still and
that's cool.
And find ways to get educated outside of the university.
So you end up doing happiness coaching and speaking on the topic of habits of happiness. I understand that you've, like all of us, we've had tribulations. We've had things that we go through, depression or this or that. We all go through different challenges. And it sounds like that kind of motivated you. So the question really is like, how did you determine that that was what you were passionate about?
Oh, that is such a good question. Back when I was a teenager, life was pretty good, you know, pretty normal life. I had four little brothers and Thanksgiving. So this was just the anniversary this last weekend. My dad died by suicide. And it just feel like there's kind of a moment where you're going to be like, how am I going to act about this? You know, what am I going to do about this? I didn't die. I felt like I could have. I felt like I wanted to. It was tragic and hard. But I remember going back to school. I was 16 years old. So I was in high school. And I remember going back to school after the weekend and just seeing people different. I just could see like the pain in people's faces all of a sudden that I hadn't really noticed before as a selfish little 16-year-old. And I kind of took that time to be like, I need to care about other people and stop being so I don't want another suicide on my hands. And I need to reach out to people and be friends and helpful to them. And I did that for several years. And I really had a great high school career and did some really amazing things. And then I graduated and went to college and met my husband, got married, had kids. And I just spiraled into this depression and back into this selfish mode and poor me. And I remember one day I was exercising with my neighbor and she said, I can't be around you anymore. You're just too negative. We got to stop exercising together. I just can't stand it anymore. You're bringing me down. And I was like, wait, what? You know, what? And I remember going home and telling my husband, he's like, well, you know, I'm like, are you serious? Like, she said I was really negative and complaining. And he's like, well, no, I'm not that person. And I'm like, I have to change. And that's when I started reading books and getting certified and getting education and started my radio talk show. And I just started getting like, I've got to bring positive. I heard about The Secret and the manifesting. And I'm like, I got to bring these things into my life. And I don't want to be that person anymore. I don't want to be that person nobody wants to be around. Like that was crushing to me. That was the worst time. And so I spent 25 years trying to work on my own happiness. So what better to teach it?
Yeah.
With somebody who's been there and done that.
And you so passionate about it that you end up getting certified in that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to ask you just real fast. I'm thinking that a listener is hearing you talk about, you know, getting certified in, it sounds like coaching. And I'd like to get just more information on that, especially to the thought of if the listener is thinking about getting certified to be a coach or whatever they can do, either to make money or just because it's passion. What are kind of the steps? How did you go about it? And what should we be thinking?
Oh, that's a really good question too. This was back in 2010. So things were a little different then. I think it's way easier to find resources now. It was really hard back then, but I found a book that I loved. It was called Happy for No Reason. And it just changed my life reading that book. And I found out that the author was teaching certification to people. And so I was able to sign up and take her course. It was through online. And I was able to take this course and get certified through her program that she teaches, and she still does it. And it's incredible. And I highly recommend it because it really gets you, you got to do the stuff, you know, you got to go through the steps. And so it was a really great way to just reset and think different and learn new ways of doing things. So I highly recommend people get certified in whatever they're interested in and don't stop there, you know, keep learning, keep getting the books, keep going to the classes, I've taken Tony Robbins trainings now. I've taken Kirk Duncan's trainings now. So just keep finding things and keep learning.
What is the certification specifically?
It's just Certified Happiness Trainer. So it just shows that you have taken the course and that you passed it and that you know what you're doing.
And then you have courses of your own, right?
Yes.
How did you start those?
Yeah. So that's something that I was able to take from her. She provides the course once you go through the training. She also provides all the material and the worksheets and the books and everything you need. But then I turned that into my own things, you know, so I was able to take a lot of her material, which she totally says we can use, you know, she's like, start out with just my stuff, because that's fine. You're trained on it, you know it. So start out teaching my stuff. And then as you get your own way, you can do your own. And so now I have my own little workbook that I use when I teach, but it also has pages of her workbook in it as well. And I've just supplemented, I've made my own quiz, you know, and different things taken from her quiz that she had done. So trainers are awesome. You know, people that certify you, they provide you with all the things you need to get you started. And then as you've been doing it for a long time now, and you just kind of get your own way and your own things that you do. And I've made my own little workbook and I don't sell any books. I don't advertise even my trainer. I don't, you know, sell her stuff either. I just provide information for people and take them through this course, this 5 weeks, and I give them homework, which I've got to learn to change that word because nobody likes to do it. Something to do outside of class, to come back and check mark each
euphemism.
Day. Yeah.
Someone like me would be like, oh, it's not homework. Okay, I can do that.
Yeah, exactly. I can't call it homework because people automatically are like, no, I'm not doing that. Like, something you can do during the week and come back and report on. That's what it is.
And you get a lot of the content, it sounds like, by having conversations on your show. And in 1999, you had the radio show for about a year.
Yeah.
And then in 2010, you got certified.
Yeah.
And then was it around 2020 that you launched the podcast, you said?
Yes. Yep. It was November 2020.
How are you doing? Well, actually, I'm looking at it now, and it looks like you're doing Is it three episodes per week?
Yeah, okay. I do. And that's one thing I would give advice on for people that are starting their podcast is to just stay consistent. Whatever you pick, if you're going to release once a week, release once a week. Don't skip. Just do it. I started out once a week and I started getting so many people that I'd go twice a week and then three times. There was a time I did five episodes a week because I just had 50 interviews in the queue that I'm like, it's going to be a year before these are out. So I just started doing five a week to get them out. So one summer, just blasting them out every single day. I really try to consistent to twice a week. And now with December, I'm going to release three a week again because I have so many in the queue again. So, but I think just being consistent, don't let months go by without posting. Like, have it something people can count on. And also advice I was given early on is to keep the time consistent too. Like, don't have a 50-minute interview and a 15-minute interview. Like, keep them all around within 10 minutes or so of the same time frame, because people will know what to expect. They'll be like, oh, the lemonade stand, you know, I have time for this 20-minute interview, you know, they don't have time for a 50-minute one right now. So they'll pick another podcast to listen to when they have more time. People schedule it for, they know to count on that time frame.
I agree with you there, because there's sometimes that I've listened to a podcast and they're all supposed to be 5 minutes. And this episode is 15 minutes and it's I'm thinking to myself, why is he just still going on?
Yeah.
Listen to a podcast that's 30 or 40 minutes and then there will be one that's a lot shorter and I'll be like, huh, that was short. I didn't expect that.
Yeah.
There's this guy who came on my podcast. There's a group of co-hosts. I think there's like four co-hosts and they talk about like, it's basically a news show in a way. Okay. It's basically a news show. The point is that they have a lot of humor and it's not meant to be something that is like super educational. It's meant to be something that kind of helps you pass the time.
Okay. So
their episodes are 3 to 6 hours. And when they have a 3-hour episode, he said that people actually call in and they complain that they're like, why is this so short? Like, I'm used to spending all of this time listening and you guys really cut it out so short there. Well, they get six people to get together once a week, like on a Sunday night. And they get together at like 6 p.m. And so when they have 6-hour episodes, they're leaving at midnight. So he's like, yeah, we didn't realize it, but he's like, I got to try to keep them longer.
Right.
So, kind of interesting.
Keep whatever you start with. Yeah, for sure. I mean, if you're going to do an hour long one, then do them hour long. There's nothing wrong with the time frame. Just stick with the consistent time frame.
Yeah. I'm curious what you think about this, because on my show, I try to do every other episode's a solo episode. So this one's an interview. Interviews are 20, 40, sometimes longer, but 20, 40, 50 minutes. And the solos are usually half that time. So like 10, 20 minutes.
Yep.
I'm curious, would you feel like that goes against what you have been taught, or do you think that it would work or not work?
Yeah, I totally do the same thing, actually. Okay. So I think it works. I've heard other podcasters where they just do interview only, and then once in a while, they'll do a little solo thing. And those are the ones I love. I'm always like, ooh, I get to hear just from them, their thoughts, their feelings. And I love that. And so I started actually a second podcast a long time ago, just doing quick, short solo episodes. And then finally, I was like, wait a second, I'm just going to combine them. There's no reason to have two separate ones, because that's a lot of work to keep up on. And I was falling short, you know, I wasn't being consistent. And so I've combined them now. And so to me, I just call it my 17-minute message, because I want it to be under 17 minutes. And so on the 17th of the month, I post a message that's under 17 minutes. And sometimes they're 10 minutes, but they're under 17 minutes. And it's just a quick solo episode.
What would happen randomly, and I bet this has happened, and it got close in November. You had one that came out on the 16th, and then the 17th was the day after. What would happen if you had a regular episode that was supposed to come out on the 17th, and you also know that you've got your 17-minute or less? Would you do two on the same day, or would you skip the other one and just put it on another week?
That's a really good question. So far, that I don't know if that's come up or not.
In 400 episodes, it's never happened.
I know. I try to post every like Monday, Thursday. And so I might bump it to Monday, Wednesday posting if Thursday is the 17th, or I might just have them both come out the same day. I don't
Okay.
I don't know. Is there some kind of kosher thing to do?
If I'm thinking through it, I think at least if you're used to posting on Monday and Thursday, mm-hmm. you should probably always post on Monday and Thursday, no matter what. So right. if it's Monday at 7 a.m. and Thursday at 7 a.m., I would just make sure that that still happens. But
yeah.
for example, on November 17th, that's the most recent one that I see. That was a solo episode. It was yeah. it'd be 10 minutes and it was saying, here's your sign.
Yes. And that was on a Friday. Yeah.
Okay. If it was on a Thursday, I would probably just at least make sure one came out at Thursday at the same time as all the other Thursdays. But I think consistency, having at least one a week at the exact same time, or two a week or three a week or even seven a week, but at the exact same time yeah. can really benefit a podcaster.
Yeah. I think that's really important to have it be consistent. Just have yeah. something. People count on it after a while. You know, they start their Mondays with, I do. I listen to my own podcast. And so I know every Monday and Thursday I can listen to it. And so I plan that in my morning. I know how it's going to go. And it's weird when I'm like, wait, shouldn't I be listening to my podcast right now? So I count on it. And I would imagine other people do too.
I agree. I've got a couple of questions that I want to ask. One is definitely going to be the best advice that you'd have for our listener today, but we will take a quick break and then we'll be right back. Hey, my friend, as you know, this episode is sponsored by my company, growyourshow.com. We want you to be able to have the best tools at your disposal without costing you a whole arm and a leg. So right now you can get a free list of vetted equipment that like mics, mixers, webcams, sound treatment, editing software, everything that you need. I created the whole PDF with direct purchase links just to save you time and money to help it be more convenient for you. So this free PDF will help you skip all the guesswork. If it's on there, it's vetted and approved by yours truly. And if it's not on there, it's probably not worth the money. So go ahead and get yours at growyourshow.com/PDF. Let's get back into the show. We're back with Heidi Aldridge, and we are going to find out her best advice. And I think she's got three things for you. Three things that you need to know. Three things that are going to benefit you. Three things that are going to help you be a better podcaster. And we've already talked about a lot of really cool things. We've already talked about her experience, why she started, what she's passionate about, how she got into coaching and got certified so that she could start helping other people, how she started her own course as well. And now we're going to talk a little bit about her best advice. These three things. Here we go.
Love it. So first of all, you know, to recap, we've talked about being consistent with posting. I think that's really important. And so I love that. And also editing it, keeping it to a time frame. But also, I think it's important to have a little intro, maybe a music or a description or something at the beginning of your episode. Because to me, I know when I'm listening to something, I'm like, oh, here we go. You know, I hear that music come up. I'm like, this is going to be good in the podcast I listen to. And so I think it just gets people ready for what you're about to do. And it's consistent. So they are expecting that and they look forward to that. And that music coming up, they're like, oh, I know something good is coming.
On that first piece of having an intro, what are the most important parts? I'm hearing a couple, and I'm curious if those are the onlys or if I'm even just making a mistake, but I'm hearing music,
yeah.
basically an audio brand that gets you excited. Now you know what you're here for.
Yeah.
And a voiceover artist or the person saying an introduction, are those the two things, like the audio and the music?
Yeah, I think so. For me personally, okay. that works for me. I do that on my own podcast. I didn't do it in the beginning because I didn't really know. But when I started listening to other podcasts, I'm like, ooh, I like how this sounds. It's getting me ready. I know what to expect. I know where I'm at. I know what I'm about to hear. And so for my podcast, I have some music that my brother and son recorded and put together. And so it's my own brand, you know, it's my own music. And then I just do my own voice recording that just said, hey, welcome. And we're going to be talking about lemons to lemonade. And these are true stories of people. And so that's just my little intro.
So your intro music is original theme music. So you have your own audio brand. Like, you're not borrowing the Pepsi logo.
You're not allowed to do that.
You have your own logo. You have your own audio brand as well.
You will be hunted down if you use other people's music. So do not do that. I was doing that in the beginning. So don't do that. Yeah. Save yourself.
You do your own voiceover.
Yeah.
And let me ask you these two things. Is it short? Is it long? Is it short or long? What are the key points to it? And okay, short or long, key points. And there was another question. Why don't you start with those two?
And my own voice. Yeah. And to me, again, this is my personal preference. I think it's important to be in my voice. I have heard other podcasters where it's not. And it sounds cool too. You get this great announcer voice and then this female podcaster and you're just like, oh, that's cool. Like, I like that. It's kind of getting ready for her to come on. So, but for me, I do it myself. I do my own music, my own voice, and it's just a little introduction. It's 18 seconds long and the music kind of goes another 2 seconds. And so I start my podcast with a little bit of that music kind of still ending. So yeah. I know how to cue it up. I edit my own. That's the thing. I love to do that. I love to take out all the ands and ums, and people are not professional speakers and they just struggle and they stutter and they have the dog barking or whatever it is. So I love to edit it and make it sound crisp and nice and concise and take out all the long stuff. So anyway, so yeah, when I do that, I put it the intro at the beginning.
So it was 18 seconds of speech. What are the key takeaways? Like, when you think of an intro that's going to work, that's maybe going to get people excited about listening or let them know what they're going to be hearing.
Yeah.
What's the focus of that? Like, let me see if I can ask this in a different way.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
And I'm confused. Yeah. Okay. Well, no, if you know, then let's just pretend like I did it. You go ahead.
I think the important things in an intro should be people know what they're about to hear, you know, and I think it's important to hear the host's voice. That's great, but maybe not. Maybe it's a surprise when they start speaking who it really is. But it's just something explain, like, hi, I'm Heidi. Welcome to my lemonade stand. This is where I talk to real people and hear their real stories about overcoming challenges and what they've done to make the world better. Yeah. That's it. It's just a simple explanation of what you're about to hear.
Was it recorded? Is it live? Do you say it every single time?
It's pre-recorded. I drop it in every time. The same exact intro into every single episode. Same music, same intro. Every single episode starts the same. And then that's when I come on and be like, hey, Adam, welcome to my lemonade stand. Let's hear about you. You know, and so then I come in after that. But I've heard other people's podcasts and it's great. They'll use a segment of the show as their intro. They'll start talking. You'll start the episode and it'll be two people talking about some random thing. And then they go into the interview after that. So they're doing like a teaser. Yeah. So maybe that works for you. But
cool.
I think you should have something consistent, no matter what it is. And if it can be an intro music that people can recognize or your voice that people can know about what's about to happen, just be consistent, whatever you decide.
So the best advice that you have, you're giving us three things. The first is to have an intro.
Have an intro.
And we talked about it being short, punchy. And for you, it is recorded, not live.
Right.
Second piece of advice that you had for us.
I think that you should put in the podcast notes, and I again, copy paste, same thing, is just about the lemonade stand or about Heidi at the end of the podcast notes, because somebody might come across one of your episodes, you know, maybe episode 100, right? And they're just listening to it for the first time. They're gonna be like, who is this person? Where did this come from? How did this get started? What is this about? And so if you can just do it a little about explanation in every episode, and that way, no matter who finds it, whenever, wherever you're at, they can understand exactly who they're listening to and what your education is, what your background is, why you're doing this, whatever you can explain in the little tiny paragraph, nothing fancy.
It's one thing that's interesting is yesterday I was doing a coaching for one of my clients, Ron Phillips. And in that coaching, that same thing came up. He had close to the amount of episodes you do. I think he had like 300 and something. You're at the 400. I'll give you that for sure. But he had a lot. That's the point. And I jump in, I start listening to different podcasts. And one thing that I kept hearing him do is he's like, oh, I've already talked about that in a different episode, so I'm not going to worry about it now. He or his co-host or somebody on there might sometimes use an acronym, like a special knowledge thing, like we'll just call EBITDA. That means like the amount of money that you're netting, but it's like it takes all of these different pieces. And it's a calculation, and it basically just means how much are you netting? What's your net operating income here? And they call it EBITDA. It's just a bunch of letters. And if the person listening is the real avatar, like the actual perfect avatar, most of the time they're kind of new. Most of the time they're kind of like just getting there. And so I remember saying, hey, no offense to him. I said, hey, no offense. Like, you're saying some stuff in this episode. Maybe it's 359. You're saying some stuff in this episode, and you're making your listener feel left out because they might be, and many of them will listen to episode 359 for the first time ever.
Yep.
And exactly. So I loved how you were like, drop something, an explanation at the bottom of every episode, because somebody, I think, as you said, might be listening to your podcast for the first time on episode 100 or 200 or 500. And so I think that's really smart.
Well, and I interview different people every time. So they're sharing it now with their people, right? So their people are going to hear that episode of their friend or their loved one. And then maybe it'll go to the next one, or maybe they'll be like, oh, I want to, well, they'll have no context. You know, it could be the 350th one. So they're going to be like bouncing around and, oh, this one sounds interesting. Oh, I don't want to hear one about that. That's too triggering, you know, skip. I mean, they're all different. And so we have to be careful not to continue on, because people are coming in wherever they're at. So I think it's great to have that. And I love what you said about referring to past episodes. If you're going to do that, then say, hey, on episode 100, I explained about, and do that.
I agree.
Because you're leaving people hanging. And I even have my guests, like one was saying, well, I was diagnosed with MS, and they start going on about MS. And I just said, what's MS?
Yeah.
You know, because I love to listen like the first time when I'm with my guests. I don't want to know any information about them, because I want to just listen as a listener and be like, I have a question. You know, it doesn't make any sense. And yeah, most of us know what MS is, but maybe we don't. And podcasts are heard across the whole entire world. We don't realize, you know, somebody in another country could hear this podcast. Oh, maybe they don't call it MS there. Maybe they call it multiple sclerosis. I don't know, you know. So let's
I found out
what it is.
I found out, Heidi, that some, because I'm learning Spanish.
Oh.
And a lot of the things, like, let's just say United States is States United in Spanish. So they just say it backwards. So maybe it would be SM. Never know.
You have no idea. So don't say initials of stuff. I always have people, whenever they throw out initials of anything, I'm like, can you explain what that is? Or even a religious thing, you know, if people are getting really religious and saying religious slang or religious words, I'm always like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Explain that. Say other words, you know, that are more broad. And so we have to pretend at each episode as if the person is there for the first time. Just keep that in the back of your mind. Put it on the notes like, hey, introduce myself. That way they know who they're listening to and why they should care to listen to your podcast. Like, they'll be like, okay, this person is just some average Joe. I don't care. Or, wow, this person's really educated and has degrees or whatever. Let them know who they're listening to.
And as part of that, you put an explanation or a bio about you, about your company, about the podcast.
That's it.
Down in the show notes.
And ways for people to get hold of you, because somebody could listen and be like, I want to share a story, or I have information about that. So put your email or put your address or something so people can reach out to you too.
Yeah.
So they don't have to try to leave a review and hope to get to you that way or something, or find your website, or make it hard for them. Like, put your website link, put your email link, put your about.
And the last thing was something about outtakes.
Yeah. Well,
what does that mean?
This is just something fun I have done, because I don't know if you're like me, but like in a movie or something, and after the credits, when there's like a little teaser, that, you know, and you stay in the theater the whole time for that little 2 second thing at the end. I don't know. To me, that's kind of fun. And so I actually started doing that on my podcast kind of by accident, because one of the early episodes I recorded, I record the whole time. From the time they say hello on Zoom until we hang up, I record the whole entire thing. And most of the nuggets and really cool little bits are kind of before the official interview or after. And there was one time when I interviewed someone, and then we're like, thank you so much. It was great. You know, have a good day. And then they're like, oh, there's this thing that happened, you know, and they tell me this amazing little nugget of information. I'm like, people have got to hear this. But how do I edit it in? Like, it was super random. Like, it was, and I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to put it at the end, like at the movies where the credits have rolled and there's a little outtake. And so after my outro music, it'll be like, hey, you're still here. We'll then listen to this outtake from this interview. And it'll be a little bit, a little nugget that they shared that fits in nowhere, but is such, and most of the good stuff is there.
That's pretty cool.
I hate to say it, but that's where all the good stuff is. So if you stay past the outro music, you'll hear some really great things.
And I feel like that's a smart thing to do if we want people to listen all the way through episodes. Yeah. The first time that they listen to one, they're probably not going to turn it off. If they get used to, I think this is good for the listener, who's also a podcaster, if they get used to you saying, all right, goodbye, all right, goodbye, all right, goodbye, all right, goodbye, then they shut down.
They
but if they get used to this, hey, here's the best part, And then they're going to start listening all the way through. And so you're probably getting some type of algorithm triggered in the podcast playing platforms where it shows that people listen all the way through your episode when they might shut down a minute or two early on somebody else's episode. It has a long outro and nothing different, nothing funny, nothing, no outtakes. So
because there's a lot of crazy things that happens when you're still rolling. It's fun. Just keep the recording going. It costs you nothing. It's no different. And you'll get some funny little things sometimes.
I may end up starting that. That's a cool thing. So the three things are having an intro with music and voiceover, whether you're the one doing it or not. The second one was making sure that you're talking to your listener at ground one, even on episode 100, including in the show notes, having an explanation of what's going on with the podcast. And the third was that you start recording before the episode actually normally starts, and you keep it recording after the episode starts. And then you share one or two of those funny parts, interesting parts, valuable parts as outtakes, and keep people coming back just like they do at the end of most of the Disney and Pixar movies, right?
There you go. And I mean, I'd be careful too, because sometimes people say, are we done recording? Good, because I wanted to share this. This is off the record. Don't do that. Like, don't share that, obviously. So, you know, most people know that what they say after we record could still end up in there. And that's okay. They love it. It's fun. And sometimes it's just silly. Like the lights went off. And so we're laughing like we're in the dark right now. And it doesn't make sense to anybody because they're just hearing it. But I'll throw that on there at the end because whatever. So, I want to be human too. I want to be relatable. I don't want to sound so perfect that people are like,
that's what I do too. I'm mostly always so perfect that I really have to try really hard, really, really
to lighten
hard.
Up a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And be human. Yeah. And just
real
be
quick
fun.
For the listener, make sure that you check down in the show notes. You'll see Heidi's bio. So you get a little bit to know more about her. Any social that she wanted to share, the social media handles will be down there as well. And the link to her podcast, Heidi's Lemonade Stand, down in the show notes. And finally, if you want to connect with her about happiness or having her speak about happiness, that is down in the show notes. Her website, her link, the ways to contact her, scroll down and connect with Heidi from Heidi's Lemonade Stand. I'll see you on the next episode. Oh, hey, because three of my clients came to me recently looking to find a way to have their podcast make them money instead of cost them money. We put together a resource for some of our clients, and I want to give it to you as well. It's something that did actually seem to help because one of them is now making $2,600 a month. Another one's $4,500 a month. And the third is making between $5,000 and $10,000 each month. And so it's been a resource that's been incredibly valuable to them. It's our sponsor sheet template. It's a template of a sponsor sheet, and it gives you something that you can hand to potential sponsors and hopefully also be making $2,600, $4,500 or between $5,000 and $10,000 regularly each month with your podcast. So this has been a contributing factor to helping all three of those clients turn their podcast into an additional income stream for them. And the way that you can find it is just going to our website, growyourshow.com, but put in /templates, growyourshow.com/templates. And then you can actually download that template and others that could be valuable to your podcasting experience. I'll see you on the next episode.